Well, you know, there's very interesting news. Frequently we talk about bad news on the show. We've been talking about the fact that the Mexican Congress simply just ignored the deadlines of the implementation of the new anti-corruption system. Just watching how the NAFTA negotiation is going to take place seems to create a little nervousness, at least among those of us who follow very closely the bilateral relationship between Mexico and the United States. And of course, just in general, the whole electoral process in Mexico seems to be quite messy at this stage of the process. As you know, there will be presidential elections in Mexico next year. But yesterday and today, there seems to be just this glimpse of good news. In fact, very good news that is now has been reflected on the Mexican peso, which reached yesterday as low as 17.45 pesos, and throughout today it continued to lower close to 17.30 pesos per dollar, which also for many is very good news. And a lot of it has to do with the statement that was issued by Standard, our friends at Standard & Poor's. That's why I really appreciate today's guest, Joydeep Mukherjee. He is a senior director of sovereign ratings for Latin America at Standard & Poor's. Welcome, Joydeep. Welcome to the show. I think we spoke a while back and you weren't as positive in terms of describing what was happening with the Mexican economy. That view seems to have changed. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, I think we spoke last year around August, about 11 months ago.
Right.
At that time, S&P had affirmed Mexico's credit rating. It's a triple B plus in our scale, but it changed the outlook on the rating to negative, because we were highlighting some negative tendencies on the government's debt.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that yesterday we had another committee, and we decided to maintain the rating but change the outlook back to stable. In other words, we're signaling that the chance of a downgrade of the rating has really faded. So it's not an improvement in the creditworthiness, but let's just say the chance of a downgrade has fallen considerably from last year.
Now, this is very interesting news, because when you consider what's happened between last year and this year, I mean, what's happened in 1 year, and in particular, I'm thinking about the Trump factor and this idea that there could be a renegotiation of NAFTA and concerns in regards to the impact of decisions being made by Trump and how it's impacting the Mexican economy, threats to companies who are investing in Mexico, his ongoing tweets. I mean, it's kind of interesting that you guys have view that the Mexican economy has stabilized. I mean, what factors have led you all to this position?
Well, when we expressed our concern last year about the economy, we were pointing to issues that were made in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, we were not pointing to the U.S. elections, to President Trump or candidate Trump at that time, nor were we talking about any kind of interruption in the flow of remittances from the U.S. back to Mexico. We were looking at structural problems in Mexico, basically many years of low growth, barely 2% every year on average.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at a steady buildup in the government's debt. And we were looking at the various economic reforms that have been done over the years, the latest being the energy sector reform,
mm-hmm.
which, while good to do, never seemed to have produced the kind of boom, the prosperity that was promised from them, because of many reasons. And so we were looking at these sort of local issues in Mexico, not American issues, and highlighting our concern. What's really happened, to answer your question, is that we think that the potential, damage to the Mexican economy from renegotiating NAFTA
mm-hmm.
is going to be contained. Now, we don't know any more than anybody else knows what the final agreement will be, but our base case is that there will be a new NAFTA,
mm-hmm.
and it won't be it may not be better, who knows, but it probably won't be as bad as initially feared. Mm-hmm. And we think that the basic relationship between the U.S. and Mexico in terms of trade, investment, and the whole production chain that's integrated, we think that's going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided that that's not the factor that would change the rating for us. We were going back to our focus on the problems that were made in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And there, what we've seen is not so much an improvement as that some of our fears seem to have been addressed, meaning we have seen an improvement in the government budget performance, you know, not mm-hmm. a miraculous change, but I think, you know, this year they're much closer to meeting their target than they were in the past when they often missed them by quite a large amount. And we also think that some of the changes introduced in PEMEX are showing results and will show more results in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And we also think that, you know, the Mexican economy went through a period of, you know, severe stress. November, December, and January of this year, we talked about the value of the peso now in the 17s, you know, it was much worse back then. And we saw the response of the authorities. We saw the central bank did raise interest rates to, you know, keep inflation down. We saw the government did allow gasoline prices to be controlled more, actually sped up the process. And obviously, it was very unpopular, and there's many demonstrations.
Mm-hmm.
But we did see the Mexican authorities, sort of broadly speaking, respond to a pretty difficult period. And mm-hmm. I think the response was good enough to restore stability.
Mm-hmm.
But based on that, based on these domestic factors, our fears receded somewhat. And so we're saying, okay, let's keep the rating where it is and not signal the danger of downgrade.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the negative factors that you alluded to, I mean, we're not saying they've gone away, because we're still talking about an economy that may be growing just under 2% this year, and no one thinks it's going to be growing at 5% next year. So those issues are still there.
The what I mean, you talk mainly about factors within Mexico that is guiding you in terms of how you all perceive and analyze Mexico's economy. But Joy Dip, what would be the external factors that could impact Mexico? And it may be external factors that can impact the rest of the world economies, but what other factors, external factors, should we be watching for?
Well, the most important is the health of the U.S. economy. Because if the U.S. economy does well, and everybody does well, regardless of what policies they pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. economy this year is doing very well. It's growing maybe, you know, 2.4%, something like that. And we think it'll probably grow at the same rate next year. So unemployment is down. So that's the biggest impact, not just for Mexico, but for much of the world.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, you know, you've got the issue of the financial markets and whether there will be some disruption. You know, so far, U.S. interest rates have been climbing slowly, and we haven't seen any major disruption anywhere. But there's always a risk that something could happen. But so far, I think that's being contained. But then you have the larger issue of the international economic rules of the game, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just the U.S. administration that's now questioning free trade. You know, many other parts of the world as well have got similar, you know, questions about the economic model.
Mm-hmm.
And so we haven't seen anything very big emerge from that. We haven't seen any new policy that has changed something. But that's a question mark that's hanging out there and probably leading some people to delay some investments because they're just a little uncertain about things.
Joy Dip, can I stop you there for a second? I've absolutely got to go to commercial break, but I do have so many questions for you, and I want to continue our conversation. If you'd allow me to commercial break, and if you could please stay on the line, and we'll be right back. Today's guest is Joy Dip Mukherjee. He is the Senior Director of Sovereign Ratings for Latin America at S&P. Please don't go away. I'm Ana Maria Salazar, and I'll be right back. Today's guest is Joy Dip Mukherjee. He is a Senior Director of Sovereign Ratings for Latin America at S&P. We're talking about how to understand what's going on with the Mexican economy. Joy Dip, before we went to commercial break, you were pointing out issues, potential threats to not only the Mexican economy, but to the world economy, economies around the world that we need to be following closely. And Joy Dip, you were pointing out that this concern that, you know, this the issue of global trade and the way some governments around the world, and we have to say even the United States, has taken this kind of more, this anti-globalization position, could have an impact, not only on Mexican economy, but the world economy. Joy Dip, I guess the question is, in terms of looking at the United States, what would be the most dramatic step, or what decision that may be made from the White House, or new policy made from the White House, that could most have an impact on the Mexican economy and the way you view the Mexican economy? Could it be NAFTA? The possibility that no agreement was reached on NAFTA?
Well, the most direct would be something very unexpected with NAFTA.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've seen in more recent times, last few days, from Washington seems to be that the U.S. has a fairly moderate set of demands for renegotiating NAFTA. We don't know what's going to happen, but the statement put out by the U.S. Trade Representative talks about issues which are more or less negotiable, more or less manageable. So it would appear, and this is our base case, consistent mm-hmm. with our rating of Mexico, that we're not looking at any kind of very serious damage to either economy, and that probably there will be a new negotiation concluded, who knows, late this year, maybe sometime next year,
mm-hmm.
probably gradually implemented. So our expectation is that this threat won't materialize, that there will be some new agreement, which probably will be good enough for everyone to live with without too much damage. But obviously, if we're wrong in that, mm-hmm. Then that has a huge impact on Mexico and on other countries as well, because it's not just the tariff-free access of Mexican products into the U.S. and vice versa. It's also, I think, the larger institutional context that, you know, for decades now, people have gotten used to the fact that they could make business decisions by looking at Canada, the United States, and Mexico as sort of one economic unit mm-hmm. for many purposes. And, you know, the integration across the borders and the flows of money and people and goods, it's just part of the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's questioned, that's going to have, you know, an impact well beyond the direct cost to anyone. But as I said, I think the signs so far are that the U.S. administration has other goals, not just Mexico, and they have some serious issues with China. And if you look at some of the demands put forth in the statement that the U.S. Trade Representative put on the website this week, some of them have to do with issues which have nothing to do with Mexico
mm-hmm.
or with Canada.
Right.
But the fact that they put it out there, I think, is an indication saying that, okay, you know, we're setting the agenda here. We're going to first talk with Canada and Mexico. But once that's over, you know, we're going to try to apply some of the other things to other countries.
Well, I think one of the big issues in that document has to do with the fact that this expression, this concern about deficit, trade deficit, which has really been, if you listen to analysts, those who are participating in the negotiation have expressed a lot of concern. What does the United States mean by that? And is this going to be an issue for the rest of the trade agreements, I guess, since people are thinking about, or just trade in general, for example, with China, you know?
And this has become a very difficult issue because most economists who look at trade do not focus on the bilateral trade balance between countries because, you know, you have a surplus with one country and a deficit mm-hmm. with the other
right.
because of the nature of, you know, what you make and produce. So there's sort of a gap there between some people in the U.S. administration who focus very much on that bilateral balance, almost imply that it should be close to zero,
mm-hmm.
and others have a different view because, I mean, in these days, you know, trade is with services as much as with goods.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to you from New York, and There are no factories in New York City, but there's a lot of office buildings producing a lot of services, which are paid for by Mexicans and Chinese and people all over the world. So we have a huge surplus in services. So that's why I think most economists prefer to look at the bigger picture of the entire relationship between countries, not just focus narrowly on trade. But, you know, the administration has focused on that, and it has picked a few key areas where it wants to negotiate. So whether economists and experts agree or not doesn't matter. I think that this will be the topic of discussion, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what more they want from Mexico, because the Mexican economy is already quite open to both American goods and services.
Well, you know, of course, there's the issue of labor, and that goes that probably they're going to, you know, there's they're concerned that there's going to go into the issue of debating the wages, minimum wage, which is already a very interesting issue here in Mexico and in the United States, by the way. One final question, because we're running out of time. Once again, I really appreciate you joining us again. Any big surprise, you know, any black swan out there that we should be paying attention? Will the Mexican electoral process somehow affect the way you all view Mexico?
We set out a kind of a base case when we made our announcement, and if that's wrong, then you know, our rating is wrong. And that base case is that we expect there to be a smooth transition to the next government. And that
regardless of who it is.
Yes, and whoever takes power, including whether it's the candidate from Morena, that there would be broad continuity in sort of the key economic policies. I stress the word broad continuity, not everything, and key economic policies, not everything. But things like, you know, low inflation because of a good central bank, and things like cutting budget deficits that are, you know, moderate. They may change the priority of spending, things like that. So this is our vision of broad continuity. Now, if we are wrong in that, and by being wrong, I mean, you know, you come up with any kind of scenario you want where the election results are very close, and maybe you have five candidates that are, you know, seriously running dot three. With all the growth these days of alternative parties and independent people, what if you have a mandate for a new president who got less than 30% of the vote? That's not disaster. It's not illegal. But, you know, you might have a leadership with very little popular support to begin with, and a Congress that's divided. And then, you know, that may affect the quality of leadership, regardless of the person involved, because you do need to have. So, you know, you can come up with risks that undermine the quality of government. And here, I mean, obviously, if you live in Mexico, you complain all the time about government, but we are looking at sort of key institutions that anchor the country's stability, such as the central bank, such as the Ministry of Finance, and such as ultimately the presidential leadership, to make sure that the most important things are well managed, and that they generally have been well managed. And that is a risk that we're not flagging, because that's not our base case. We don't think it's going to happen. But we always have,
to watch for that.
Yeah.
Joy Depp, hopefully you'll come back to the show. Don't let 1 year go by. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Joy Depp Mukherjee. He's a Senior Director of Sovereign Ratings for Latin American at S&P. That's it. That's it for the show. I'm Manuel Díaz Salazar. Take care. Bye-bye.